We started a series, and last week, and it doesn't get interrupted, we just fit it in between things. How many of you were here for Mario Miller's thing last week? I enjoyed it. Did anybody else enjoy it? It's out there on YouTube and three other places if you want to listen to it. But, hey, thanks for the stool. So we started a series on learning to get to know each person of the Trinity, which may be a new concept to you, may not, may be old hat. We know that the Holy Spirit is actually the one inside of us. It's all right to say, invite Jesus into your heart. But really, Jesus enabled it to be that the Holy Spirit can come inside of you. He's your comforter. He's your teacher. Then we got Father God, and then we got the Son, Jesus. And so we've been on this journey of learning to, we need to understand the attributes and the personality of each part of the Trinity because they speak to you differently. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, you can over time, it's amazing to hear from the voice of God. That still small voice. Don't ever underestimate that. And when I say God, I'm really encompassing all three. A lot of times I'll say specifically the Father or the Son or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. But it's amazing. So you don't have to go to this level. But the more you walk with the Lord, after a while you'll hear something come up from your spirit, a voice that sounds slightly different than the normal way the Holy Spirit talks to you. Because that's probably 95% of what I hear is the Holy Spirit, because that's His job. But sometimes I'll hear something, I'll go, that sounds different. It's a different tenor, a different tone, even a different subject. And if you go, what's happening? A lot of times He'll start showing you, this is the Father speaking to you. Or this is Jesus speaking to you. Now, it is a minority part of my life. It may be different for some of you. He moves different ways. But over time, you can start discerning the individual voices of the Trinity. And they have different roles, different personalities, and different purposes. And so that's why they talk to you differently. Now, this is something we want to grow in. I'm not going to repeat this, but I am going to review it real quick. We all start out as a believer. Hopefully, we move into, but you know, you can just stay there. And there's deeper levels. I hate to use the word deeper. It's a little trite. But there's deeper levels of getting to know the Trinity. It's like Derek and his wife that I was talking to at the break. How long have y'all been married? 12 years. So how long did you date before then?
About
6 months. 6 months. So on that first date, how well did you know her, Derek?
Well, we did 4 dates in one.
So you were on the fast track.
Yeah.
All right. Well, be that same way with God. But somewhere along the way, you started to get to know your wife at a much more, that's good English, at a deeper level, and you got to know Derek at a deeper level, and you started going, I like this. And now there are things y'all know about each other that nobody else knows about each other. But that took time. It didn't happen on the first four-date night. Whatever that means, you can tell me later. But whatever it was, no matter how good those first 4 dates were, you didn't get to know her. You what?
I didn't want to let her go.
Oh, well, there you go. She captured your heart, right, from the very beginning. And so it's the same way with God. It takes time. And so the second level, as we look through scriptures, is a disciple. A disciple is one that goes, I want to know about my God. And I want to be a disciplined follower of my God. And that's a subset of believers. Not all believers are disciples. All believers have their salvation. But you have to bend your knee in submission and humility and repentance to say, I want to be a disciple. And then the scriptures talk about being a servant. That's, I believe, now this isn't all clear cut, but you can sort of see the general arc. A servant is one, I don't want to just know about him, and I want to help him in his assignments. I want to obey him and do it, and that's a servant. And the first night that we talked about that, we got into a lot more detail. If you can get it off the YouTube or wherever. And then there's a scripture that, did I write it down? Yeah, John 15, 15. And a higher fourth level is to be a friend. And I base this off of John 15, 15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. See, a servant just takes orders. He may not have any idea what he's doing or why he's doing it. Instead, I've called you friends. See, up the level. He's saying, you've been a good servant, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And so there's this fourth level of being a friend, where he starts telling you why I'm giving you these orders. I remember years ago, I was standing out here in the front, nobody was in the building, and I was just sitting there or looking out at the traffic, taking a break from my software development job that my office is back over here in the corner. And the Lord just said, Craig, you have been a great servant. Now, I was honored by that, but I knew there was a but coming. Many of you have heard those buts. He says, but you don't really know me as a friend. And so I was like, I'm glad I'm a servant. Because he said, you've done everything. It was a compliment. He says, you've done everything I've asked you to do. But he was wanting to take me higher to show me ways. And I was like, he was right, because I didn't even hardly understand the concept. And I'm like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to show me what a friend level friend is. And it's another talk, but that is there. Okay, there's two other levels, one for the Father and one for Jesus. There may be 10 more. This is just my journey. Come back 20 years from now and I may have some more. But there's two different levels depending on who you're talking to. One is learning to be a son to the Father. And that's what we're started on the last time I talked about. And then the other level is, and this is where it's important to start understanding the roles in the Trinity, is to be a bride to Jesus. Because he's a bridegroom. And once we get through with the Father, we'll move into that. But he's teaching us to be a son to the Father. We're not a son to Jesus, because biblically we're his brothers. We're all firstborn. And he says we're a bride. We're not marrying the Father, so we're not a bride. So it sort of branches off, a believer, disciple, servant, friend, then a son, and a bride we're talking to. Turn over to Galatians 4, 6. Let's talk about, so you have to grow as a son. This was one of the hardest things in my own life, in my own Christianity, was to understand sonship, and I think I may be just at the beginning of the journey, so what I teach you, y'all may be far beyond me. But we're born spiritually with an orphan mentality. You may be born into a great family, and physically you're not an orphan. But we're born spiritually as orphans because we're born into sin. We're not like Adam and Eve. We're born without knowing the Heavenly Father. And so many times we need to, if you had a good earthly father, I've seen the journey to be a good son to your heavenly Father is so much easier. Because there should be no contradiction. The problem is there's no perfect husband. There's no perfect father. But hopefully it sets you on. Now this day and age, especially if you're like under 30, huge percentages of people didn't even grow up with a father in the house because of divorce, or he was off and they'd see him every other weekend, so they didn't really ever know him, because when they got together it was just fun times trying to catch up and show how good of a father he was even though he's not there anymore. And it's just tough. Some people have verbally abusive fathers in the house. Some have physically abusive. On and on. And so I've seen this over the years, when I talk about the Heavenly Father loves you, He adores you, He accepts you, it is a major counseling job if you're in one of these. It is not easy. And I can give out the truths, but in the end, they need an encounter with the Heavenly Father. And so we always want to pray for that. But in Galatians 4, 6, and 7, it says, because you are sons. So every one of you is in here a son, whether you know it or not, whether you're walking in it or not, whether you're experiencing it or not. He calls you a son, but we want to grow into it. What do you mean grow into it? We'll see here in a minute. God sent the Spirit of His Son. The Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, into our hearts. If you notice, it's not to our mind. Many people, we need to mentally understand the characteristics and attributes of Father God. And we'll talk about some of those over tonight and the next few weeks. But in the end, it's your heart that has to be changed towards Him. And it's not just a mental assent or understanding. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And I don't know if you're familiar with this word, Abba, but it is it's like Papa is to the Spanish world, or sometimes you see it in the English world. It means a term of endearment. This was a big deal. Paul is writing this to the Galatians. Do you realize in the Old Testament, which is all they had in Paul's letters, that's it. So they were still basically being schooled under the Old Testament. You didn't even hardly say the word Yahweh, because He was so magnificent. He was so off in the distance. He was so far. And it was a term of respect. That's why when Moses said, for me to go to Egypt, what is the name, your name that I tell you, that I tell them who sent me? He didn't give His name. He said, just tell them I am. And so here, we're used to this. This was a radical 360, or I guess you'd say 180 degree turn. That if this went to Jews, I'm telling you, they're struggling. Papa? Yeah. Abba? But He was setting into motion new principles that when this Holy Spirit came in, He's wanting to return to the family model that started in the Garden of Eden. It's all about family. And that's one of the big moves in churches that He's wanting us to do. And that's one reason we're doing the finger foods thing, is we're really about three things. Vertically, intimacy; horizontal, community; and inwardly, maturity. Intimacy, community, and maturity. And at community, we want it to move into family. Because that's how Adam and Eve started. And it talks about how they didn't specifically say the Trinity, but the God moved through the Garden of Eden in the cool of the evening, and they just talked with Him. And He set up a family. He's wanting it to get beyond. I mean, He is high and lifted up. He is awesome. He is magnificent. But somehow or another, He still wants to hang out with us. Verse 7. So you are no longer a slave. Now what is He talking about? It's a slave to sin. We're to be servants, but we're never slaves once we're saved. Once you're saved, we switch from being a slave to sin. That means no matter how good your self-control is, how good your willpower is, eventually you're going to sin. You can't keep from it. And you're a slave to this. You're a slave to demonic powers, even if you know it or don't know it, eventually slave to hell. And so He says you are no longer a slave, because we are to be servants. Servants are voluntary. Slaves, you don't have a choice. I know I'm reviewing some of this, but this is good, I think, reminders for us. Galatians 4, 7. But a son. You've been a son since the beginning, even if this is the first night that you've heard the talk. And as we talk about the Father, we're going to talk about His characteristics. But in this particular series, that's going to be the next emphasis. This particular, we're going to talk about what does it mean to be a son. Some of us know what it is. Some of us wish our kids knew what it was. But we're going to find out. But a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. Okay, what next verse? Got so many. So go to the Galatians 4:1. And I know we're getting into teaching, but it's good for you. I'm not a preacher anyway. Whoa, hallelujah. Did you see what God did today? I need to learn how to preach like that. Probably keep you awake. What do you think, Sean? Oh, you better get your life together, brother, or God's judgment's coming on you. You won't be able to sleep tonight. He's going to keep you up. All right.
I like you.
You like it when I... All right, Galatians 4, verse 1. I don't know what got into me. I didn't even eat dinner, so it wasn't a pizza. Huh? Got to throw it in. Yeah, I haven't got the hack down yet. Saying, I've messed myself totally up. Galatians 4, verse 1. Now I say, as long as the heir, remember he said, you're a son and you're an heir. Same book. It's just preceding that. As long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave or a servant, although he is owner of everything. Okay, this is the point. You are the owner of everything right now as a son that comes to you. But he has not given it all to you yet. Why? Read on. But he is under guardians. He is owner of everything because he's a son. He's written into the will. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the Father. So also we, so it's talking about them, literal sons. They may be inheriting, but they're 9 years old, okay? They ain't getting the family's business because there ain't going to be one if I gave it to them now. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So what is this saying? We're all sons. We all have an inheritance. If we keep close to Him, as it says in Deuteronomy 28 and all through the Old Testament, obey His commands and listen to His voice, it's training us to be sons to take over the family's, the Father's business. It's not to take over, it's really to do it along with Him. Well, what does that mean? Assignments on earth, maybe literal businesses on earth that He wants to help raise up so that we can support different things that He wants to have happen. But it's growing as a son is something you grow into just like physical sons. When I say sons, I guess you know I'm talking about daughters too. This is genderless. Your sons are, you know, women are called sons and men are called bride. I think it's easier to be called a son if you're a woman. Okay, but that's another time. So let's jump in here a little bit. I've got different characteristics of sons. We're going to do one tonight because it's going to take the whole night and I probably won't even get very far in it. But as we go through these characteristics, do a self-examination of your own heart and life. What I'm going to say is very simple. It's not some heavy revy, some big deep truth. They're very simple. But ask the Holy Spirit, does this fit me or not? And then use it this next week, or however long it takes, one day or 2 months, to start going, Father, make me, let me see myself as you see me. That's what it boils down to. So here's the first one. Now, there's a little booklet. I wrote this many years ago. There's a little tiny white booklet out in the front, almost like a pamphlet, where these points are summarized. I don't know how many's out there, maybe 12. If we run out, I'll print out some more for next time. So if you want the Cliff Notes, you can go out there and get it. And it is Cliff Notes. It's a lot shorter, but they're all there.
What's the name of that book?
Out in the front? I don't know. It's something about sons and... Something like that, yeah. It's been probably 7 or 8 years ago I wrote that, but I just now remembered it was out there, or I would have made up some more. So here's the first one. So everything is comparing sons versus orphans. So as I go through here, you're a son, but most Christians think like an orphan. You think of the Israelites, when they came out of the promised land, they were slaves. And we don't have time to go into it, or I don't want to take time to go into it, but most of that first generation, till they died off, still thought of as a slave. Habits and patterns are hard to think about. It's hard to break. So here's the first one. Sons are accepted. Orphans are jealous. So let's talk about this a little bit. Let's talk about some of these jealous characteristics, and then we'll talk about how we should think. And most of these points that I'm putting down are things I learned on my own because I was doing it. So, if you want one, I guess you can pass them out till they run out. And I can print out some more next time. So here's some jealous signs, which is a sign of being an orphan. The reason we're jealous is because we don't realize we're accepted. And I got to come back around to that. I get that. Do you have a hard time hearing others praised? Do you fight for attention, promotion, or success? Do we try to outdo others? Oh, here's a tough one. Are we secretly happy, although we'd never tell anybody, when someone fails? So let me give you four quick steps, and we'll review it again next time, on how to handle jealousy, and then I want to end it up on a good note with the acceptance. So if any of these things fit, or whatever else comes, the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, first thing to do is confess. Go to the Father and confess your jealousy, because it's a sin. Then ask Him to let you see differently. What do I mean by that? So confess, see differently. Ask God to see others as He sees them. Now these are big steps. That's why we'll review it again. Ask Him to get your eyes off of others and go, God, what are you doing through them? The third step, confess, see differently. Third is to celebrate. This was a thing that broke a lot of this jealousy in me. As I started, the Father would say, celebrate what I'm doing in them. Go to them, ask them what God's doing, and refuse to one-up them with a better story. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just listen and don't even comment on what you're doing. And celebrate. If they're getting an award or if they're speaking or a promotion at work, celebrate it. Even if you don't like them, even if you're jealous, celebrate just starts to break things off of them. And then the last one, confess, see differently, celebrate, is to bless. Bless them. Say, hey, can I? If they're a Christian, can I bless? Pray for you, for more success, more influence. If they're not a Christian, then all you can, you know, probably need to do is to encourage them. And I know we're at 8, but let me go just a little bit. I want to end on a positive note. Sons are accepted, orphans are jealous. Some high points. We all have a place. And one thing He's teaching me is my place is a cool place. Your place is a cool place. He planned it from the foundation of the world. But there's something in human nature that always thinks other people's stuff is better. He created you with your personality, your calling, your assignments, your location, because that's what He likes. And it's not any better than anybody else's, and it's not any worse than anybody else's. And so we start going, everybody has a place, and accept the diversity in everybody and count it as good. This diversity, equity, inclusion thing that's falling apart now, study just came out that just said it's caused more problems than good. It's because it's based off the wrong thing. It's based off, the diversity is based off equality. instead of diversity is based off uniqueness and appreciating the uniqueness in everyone. Let me tell you this. The Father likes exactly the way you are. And when we get jealous of other people, and we get jealous of other people's assignments or other people's gifts, it actually grieves His heart, I believe. Because He's going, I gave them my best. And when they start shifting to see it, it'll start changing everything. And so one of the things to do is start thanking the Father for those things that you may not even like. Now, I've got a gut now because I'm 64 and just whatever. But when I was like in college, I was 6'1" and 135 pounds. I would eat 6,000 calories a day, drink protein milkshakes all the time, did all whatever you're supposed to do, gain weight. Other people are jealous of me because of all that I'm eating, but I was jealous of them because they weren't skinny. How messed up do we get? But one thing that started breaking is I started going, Father, I don't know why You made me this thin. I wouldn't accept it. I wouldn't do it. I don't think it's a good plan. But when you do that, guess what? You're insulting Him. Because when He made man on that sixth day, and when He made you on whatever your birthday is, or really at the conception, He called it good. And so I had to start, Father, thank You for the way I'm built. And You put whatever phrase You want in there. Father, I would love to be a better communicator, but I'm not. Israel, my son that was up here on the piano, my beloved son, is... he can sing, obviously, play the piano. Guess what? I can't even do rhythm. I can't even keep rhythm. Years ago, before we had kids, Susan goes, this is what I want for my anniversary. I was like, and I was smiling on the inside, outside, but inside I'm like, this isn't going to be good, whatever it is. You know, you husbands, you know when that tone changes, something's about to happen. And I said, okay, what is it? She goes, I want to do ballroom dancing. And I'm like, oh my God. Of course I'm smiling. Yeah, that's a great idea. And we went and did ballroom dancing. For those of you, I used to dance. I don't do it anymore because it hurts my knees too bad. But those that know that I dance, because like 2 or 3 days, I'm like, my knees are killing. But those that used to see me dance, they go, you know I can't keep rhythm. It's the joy of the Lord in that dance. Make a loud noise. But anyways, we went and do ballroom dancing. About halfway through, I'm trying. Now, I'm very athletic. I lettered in 2 sports, but I had no rhythm. We didn't play soccer to music, okay? We didn't do basketball, except maybe at pep rally, to music. And so I was very athletic. It wasn't a problem with that, but I had no rhythm. And so about halfway through, the instructor, you know, the man's supposed to lead? About halfway through, he just looked at me and goes, this isn't happening. And he turns to her and goes, you're going to have to start leading. And that's what we did. We had a good time, actually. It's fun. So my point is, with Israel, there's no way I can sing, no way I can play. And I could be jealous of other singers or whatever. But I can teach. And so, but we have to be, Father, You made me this way because You like it. And don't insult Him by looking around at other things. And the world of advertising that we're in is constantly doing this. They say we see thousands of ads a day when you add them up on the internet, billboards, TV. They're constantly saying what you have is not good enough, but if you pay $49.99 for this thing, you're going to be awesome. Well, you're awesome without the $49.99 thing. And you didn't even think about it before then. I know when we were young and married, no kids yet in Augusta, Georgia. How many of you did this as young people? Maybe you still do it. We'd go shopping through the malls when that was a big thing. You know, I've been married for 39 years, so that was a long time ago. We'd go shopping through malls, and we'd dream, well, whenever we get this money, we'll get this headboard or get this. And that was our entertainment because we couldn't afford any other entertainment. Is anybody else like that in this room? And that was your entertainment. And it was funny. I needed nothing before I went into that mall. I came out with a list of 5 things. I've got to have this. And that's the power of advertising. But, and I'm not making a judgment on that, but to say you know, we see ads all the time that will often make us not happy with God. And He's wanting to take us into a place of acceptance. Because when you get acceptance, you then can accomplish things with Him. But if you're constantly fighting with Him for what you're doing, or what you want to do, or what you want to look like, He can't get you focused on the right path. That's a good place to stop. We'll pick it up again next week. So acceptance, and I gave you a bunch of little lab things to do. Thank Him for where you're at. Thank Him, not that you know, thank Him for your job. Thank Him for His family. Even if your family's rebellious, still thank Him for it. It's not going to be that way forever. Your job may not be exactly what you need it to be, but thank Him for it. And as you start doing that, you'll start feeling accepted by Him. And then He can start reassigning you if He wants you to. When we stop fighting. If I'm always trying to be like Max over here that can play the guitar awesome, he does a good job, doesn't he? He's playing a good job over here. If I'm getting jealous of him and I'm going, God, I want to play like him. I want to do this and that. And I go out there and try to play. I tried to play musical instruments. My mom made me take piano for 3 years. It was a total disaster. I knew nothing more at the end than I did at the beginning. Because I had no rhythm. She finally gave up and said, okay. She was very frustrated because I didn't turn out to be, you know, like Max on the guitar or something. But she didn't have the rhythm either. I got it from her. I didn't realize it then or I would have blamed it on her. It's all your fault. And so, but see, if I'm still frustrated and going for something that's just really never going to happen, part of acceptance is becoming self-aware. Amen. Let's stand. I could keep talking, but we'll pick it up again in 3 weeks. Father, I thank you for every person here. I pray this week they will hear your voice better than they ever have before. And that you will help us, because I know all of us, no matter if we have a good background and good, we all sometimes struggle with feeling like we're sort of outside the family, we're sort of out of an orphan, that you like Max or Israel or Derek or somebody better than me, which is just not true. And help us, Lord, to be aware. Help us, Lord, to see how you have accepted us, and that's the key. You like the way we're made because you made us. And Father, I just bless them, prosper them in their spirit, their soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.